Sir, yeah, just yesterday, FDA approved the Pfizer shots for children as young as five.
From a stacked committee, 7 of the 11 of which, or 12 total, one abstained, 7 of them had demonstrable ties to Pfizer. I mean, the system is deeply corrupt.
And as another, you know, proof of the system being corrupt, even before the FDA met, the Biden administration last week, they officially announced that they have acquired 28 million doses of Pfizer vaccine for children, even before it got approved,
because
it got to the committee.
It's a kangaroo court. I mean, you spoke of your background in Ukraine and the Soviet Union. That was your lead here. And as an individual, you've experienced that personally, that kind of system. And I hear from folks that have been in the former Soviet Union or in Portugal, it was fascinating being there because they were under another authoritarian regime, Salazar. And the people, that only ended in the 70s. So a lot of the adults and older people in Portugal, they remember what authoritarianism is about, just like you know.
This is why it is so scary to see it happening here.
And then I was just giving testimony to the Hasidic Jews. They have cultural memory coming from the Holocaust. And all of these people are saying, look, wake up. These are the signs. These are the signs of creeping authoritarianism control. Pay attention. This is not normal. This is not okay. And so I honor you for speaking out and in recognizing this and trying to warn people. I don't know what has happened to our government. And the press has said for a long time that the threat of authoritarianism was going to come from the right, but it hasn't. It's important to recognize, and you know, we culturally we don't like to talk about what happened in Germany in the 1930s.
Mm-hmm.
But the Socialist Party was a left-wing party in Germany that took over. Okay? To assume that authoritarianism is only going to come from the right is foolish. It's naive. And we're seeing it now. And what amazingly we seem to have had happen is we've allowed the World Economic Forum, Bill Gates, and a CIA shop basically located at Johns Hopkins to run a series of war games over years and years and years, come up with a battle plan of how to respond to a true highly lethal pandemic that for some reason has always ended up with authoritarian measures. You put together a bunch of folks coming from that community and that's what you get. And they've developed a battle plan, basically a response plan, and they are implementing it. And what they've done is they have trained world leaders like the governor of California, like Justin Trudeau, like people from the Central Communist Party in China, world leaders, the woman that is managing a lot of the pandemic response in Australia with the rubber bullets. These are all people that have been trained in these war games that have been run at Hopkins. And they're not the intellectual giants of the world. They're a bunch of bureaucrats and functionaries, and they've been taught this process. This is what we're going to do. Now, normally, anybody trained in war, in the art of war, knows that your battle plan is only as good until you first encounter the enemy, and then you have to adapt it.
Mm-hmm.
But these people have never changed their battle plan based on the reality of what this virus represents. It is not a highly lethal virus, and we do not have a highly effective vaccine. They don't care. They got their little plan. It's just like the FDA. They got their checklist. This is what we do next. This is what we do next. And by the way, a bunch of media leadership have been involved in all of those war games. Those are the people that we're listening to on CNN. Those are the people that are writing for the New York Times. They've all been indoctrinated that this is what we have to do. This is how we have to control the population. This is how we get out of the pandemic. But the reality is completely different. And that's why you and so many others are looking around and saying, but this vaccine doesn't work. It doesn't protect us from infection. Why are we all being forced to take it in our workplace when it's not going to ensure that our workplace is safe? Why are our children being forced to take it?
Pregnant women.
Because pregnant, oh, that's a whole nother can of worms. That is totally unjustified. We don't have the data to show safety in pregnancy. So common, you know, normal, I want to say common, people in the world, you know, we're really all the same. Yeah, I've had specialty training. You've had specialty training. They're just different, right? And I committed a stupid long time to my training, okay? But so I know things and I do things that's different from what you do, but that doesn't make us different. That doesn't make me more special than you. And it doesn't mean that I have some super brain power. People can see truth. They know it. They know it in their bones. They can sense that there's something wrong here. Often they don't have the framework, the words to think about it, because this isn't what they do for a living. You know, they drive a bus or do other things. They're policemen. They're airline pilots. But they know that there's something wrong here, because the management that's coming from the top on us doesn't fit with what they know to be the ground truth. And that, I think, is the big, big question. Why?
Well,
what is behind this?
What is behind this, really? You say that they're not flexible. They are sticking to that scenario. Do you think it is because they are just being so very unadaptive bureaucrats? Is it because of their very conservative, in the bad sense of words, type of thinking? Or is it because they just simply got drunk on power and they really like this position when they can decide on life and death of millions of people?
Or they feel like they're locked in. So I don't know the answer. I'm not a psychologist. And I can't get inside of Tony Fauci's head or Bill Gates' head. I'm convinced that both of those people have distorted views of the world. They are not in touch with most people. They live in their own special reality of power and protection. They're surrounded by sycophants that are telling them whatever they want to hear. You know, they travel in international spaces on private jets with people that are like them. And they don't really deal with people like you and me that are, you know, out in the world doing things.
Ordinary folks.
And now their authority is being threatened. They're not threatened by me, I guarantee. And they're not threatened by you. They're threatened by facts. And the facts are inconvenient. And so what is their reaction? Oh, we're going to suppress the facts, right? Because they're inconvenient, because they make us look bad. Not because what we're encountering is people, I don't think you could deny, we're not encountering people who are committed to public health, to protecting you and me. We're encountering people that are committed to defending their own privilege and their own perks and their own status. Mm-hmm. And it's very much about them. I mean, how can you look at Tony Fauci and not realize it's all about Tony, right?
Oh yeah.
It's all about Tony, right? And he's constantly on the media. He has multiple, I mean, the guy's the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease. What does he need 30 media people for? This is crazy. Why is he personally the only one allowed to speak of all the scientists at the NIH? Because it's all about Tony. He's been able to amass this massive amount of power. And then you've got Bill Gates, who has virtually bought the World Health Organization because of a series of circumstances. And then above all of that, you've got these four major investment firms that all own each other, like BlackRock and Vanguard. And all of these companies that are giving this messaging all over the world, the media companies, the IT companies, the pharmaceutical companies, all of this matrix that's now horizontally integrated is really all divisions of one company. What we're seeing is the consequences of consolidation of finances, of money and power globally. And that's, you know, we had the Sherman Antitrust Act here in the United States to break up the power of these big blocks of capital. But what's happened now is that capital is no longer constrained by nation state. Mm-hmm. These blocks of money are independent of countries. They're more powerful than countries. They tell the U.S. Treasury what to do. They tell the U.S. Federal Reserve what to do. It's not the other way around anymore, okay? They control economies. They can make or break you and I like that, you know, and everybody around us by making a financial decision. And they are amoral. They're not, they don't operate in a world where they care about morality. They operate in a world in which all they care about is return on investment. And we become pawns. We become just, you know, the metaphor has been used. I don't know of a better one. We're like cattle. We are just economic units that can be moved about in whatever way to suit them. And they're constantly looking for best return on investment. If they can get a better return on investment by doing something, manufacturing sugar or shoes or whatever, by going to Eastern Europe or to Vietnam or to China or wherever, that's where the money will go. And it's the money is coming from what you do and I do. This sounds kind of Marxist, but it's fundamental. We're the ones that are creating value, and they're the ones that are drawing that value off and building their own huge economic portfolios. And that's what's, in my mind, what's really behind it. And that and their tool that they've used has been this series of war games that they've funded and trained politicians on how to implement. And I got to say, my thinking on all this was really, I resisted so strongly thinking about things in this way. And I had many people coming to me and pointing out information about Klaus Schwab and the Great Reset and all this. And I resisted that. I just didn't want to think about that. It wasn't possible. Then I read Bobby Kennedy's book and I edited it twice. He asked me to help him with that. And when I finished that book, I thought I understood what was going on in our government. I thought I understood what was going on at NIH with Tony Fauci. And the first time I read that book, I was depressed for 2 weeks. Just realized how profoundly distorted everything has become. And that together with this comment from this Portuguese woman rocked my world. I was left aware that everything that I had assumed about the way things were and all the training I'd received and the world, the way that I believed things worked, that there were rules, that we all obey these rules, that these rules were designed to keep us safe and protect us and to ensure that there was equity and proper way of doing things. I realized that that was just grossly naive. And now, intellectually, I'm in a position where I don't know what things look like on the other side. I don't know what the rules are anymore. They don't seem to be any rules. It's whatever those in power say is what goes. And you've lived under this system. You know what we're talking about. And you know where this goes. Problem is, this would be great in Plato's Republic, where we have a benign, benevolent dictator that is infinitely aware of everything and wise and profound. Unfortunately, we've yet to see that person, right? What we find is that people at the top of these authoritarian structures become corrupted. They're not wise. They're not fully informed. And they end up serving their own interests and those around them. And it happens again and again. We all know this expression, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And I don't know what I encounter in moving about in the world, in, you know, doing all this travel and talking to people, Latin America, Europe, Asia. Many people have become very distrustful of centralized authority, and they're seeking other ways, some other way to organize ourselves. And they don't like communism. We've proven that doesn't work. But they sure don't like this kind of central command authoritarianism. And in kind of we know best collectivism that we're now seeing play out. It's coming. I mean, the term in after the French Revolution of Jacobins applies. If this is kind of sophisticated political language you're talking about, many of current French leadership think of themselves as Jacobins. This idea that they know what's good for all of us,
greater good,
and they're going to implement it whether we like it or not. We're seeing, in my opinion, the consequence of that kind of Jacobin thinking, that there's an elite and they know what's best for us, and they're going to give it to us good and hard. I don't want to live in that world, and I suspect you don't, or
no,
you wouldn't
no,
be here.
Thank you.
I think a lot of other people, but the problem is that these forces that are trying to implement this kind of strategy are highly coordinated. They've been planning this for decades. And the rest of us are kind of waking up slowly going, whoa, what happened? I don't get it. How did this all happen? How did we end up with a media that was so coordinated, censoring? I like to say, I said in a rally in Oahu last week, I said, do you remember the time when we all felt sorry for the Chinese because their government was controlling their access to information. Their government was controlling their internet. Their government was controlling what they can do, where they can move, their government was forcing them to have internal passports. Remember when we all felt sorry for the Chinese? Wake up, because here we are.